Reading Romans 10. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal, for they don't understand God's ways of making people right with Himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in Him are made right with God. For Moses writes that the law's ways of making a person right with God requires obedience to all His commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again? In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in Him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on Him to save them unless they believe in Him? And how can they believe in Him if they have never heard about Him? And how can they hear about Him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Yes, they have. The message has gone throughout the earth and the words to all the world. But I ask, did the people of Israel really understand? Yes, they did. For even in the times of Moses, God said, I will rouse your jealousy through people who are not even a nation. I will provoke your anger through the foolish Gentiles. And later, Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. But regarding Israel, God said, all day long I opened my arms to them, but they were disobedient and rebellious. Note, a couple of things right here is that we may confess that Jesus is Lord. In other words, He's boss over all, or creator, or life giver. One of the reasons is you confess Jesus is Lord as you let Him into our hearts, that He is supreme authority in our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that we surrender to Him. Jesus is Lord. Can you say that with me? Say, yes, Jesus is Lord. Or this way, say, yes, the Lord Jesus is my God. The Lord Jesus is my God. For that's what Jesus came. That's the good news. The good news, He came to be Lord of our lives and to usher out sin's rejection, loneliness, disease. We were bastards, and now we have a father, we have a family, we are in love, That's the good news. We are in love and nothing can hurt us. Absolutely nothing. Jesus is Lord of our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. Let's read it in a couple of other translations to bring more clarity. Let's go quickly to the NIV, please. And we're going to read those parts that says Jesus is Lord. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And that's verse 14. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard throughout the word about Christ. But I ask you, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice had gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. All right, let's back up to verse 10. Somehow I missed it right here. Okay, verse 5. Moses writes this about the righteousness that it is by the law. The person who does things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven or who will descend into the deep. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It's in your heart. In other words, it's in our decision, folks. It's in our acceptance. It's right there in our consciousness. The word is in our consciousness, in our mouth, in our heart, that wants to automatically speak and let the Lord Jesus in our hearts by making a wise decision that the Holy Spirit is tucking and on our faith. The Holy Spirit is pushing us to make that choice. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And how do you believe? You feel it. You sense it. You know the Lord is Jesus. You know the Lord is Creator. That's how you decide. It is so easy, that it is so evident that the Lord Jesus is Lord over all. He is God, and you know him. We know him very good, for he is in our hearts now, and now we believe, and we are justified. That's the righteousness of the law that we're talking about. It is with our mouth that we profess with our faith and are saved. So the scripture said, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. We'll always have that love within us because we have mixed it with faith. We have allowed the natural sequence to take place. We believe. Amen. Let me go ahead and read it in another couple of translations and we'll tap into this subject again. Here we go. Now we're at the Passion Translation right here, and it says, let me read it. My beloved brothers and sisters, verse 1. The passionate desire of my heart, says Paul, and constant prayer to God is for my fellow Israelites to experience salvation. For I know that although they are deeply devoted to God, they are enlightened. And since they ignore the righteousness God gives, wanting instead to be accepted to God because of their own works, they refuse to submit to God's faith righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, and because of him, God has transferred his perfect righteousness to all who believe. Moses wrote long ago about the need to obey every part of the law in order to be declared right with God. The one who obeys these things must always live by them. But we receive the faith righteousness that speaks an entirely different message. Don't for a moment think you need to climb into the heavens to find the Messiah and bring him down, or to descend into the underworld to bring him up from the dead. But the faith righteousness we receive speaks to us in these words of Moses. God's living message is very close to you, as close as your own heart beating and your chest, and as near as the tongue in your mouth. And what is God's living message? It is the revelation of faith for salvation. It is the revelation of faith for salvation, which is the message that we preach. For if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. The heart that believes in him receives the gift of the righteousness of God. And then the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture encourages us with these words. Everyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. So then, faith eliminates the distinction between Jew and non-Jew, for he is the same Lord for all people. And he has enough treasure to lavish generously upon all who call upon him. And it is true, everyone who calls on the Lord's name will experience new life. Amen and amen. We will experience believing, then produces faith, and then with our mouth we say, Jesus is Lord. Once we say it, we declare a truth and believe and accept a promise that goes into our heart like a seed, and we are transformed into a new creation. But we must be stirred up in calculating and believing and thinking of the words of God through a prophet like this one. I'm explaining it to you. All right. Amen. Let's go ahead and read it again with the Message Bible. See if we can get some more light in it. I'm believing. I'm stirred up, folks. Believe me, Paul says. Friends, all I want for Israel is what's best for Israel. Salvation, nothing less. I want it with all my heart and pray to God for it all the time. I readily admit that the Jews are impressively energetic regarding God, but they are doing everything exactly backward. They don't seem to realize that this comprehensive setting things right, that is, salvation, is God's business, and a most flourishing business it is. Right across the street, they set up their own salvation shops and noisily peddle their knockoffs. After all these years of refusing to really deal with God on his terms, insisting instead of making their own deals, they have nothing to show for it. The earlier revelation was intended simply to get us ready for the Messiah, who then puts everything right for those who trust him to do it. Moses wrote that anyone who insists on using the law code to live right before God soon discovers it is not so easy, every detail of life regulated by fine print. But trusting God to shape the right living in us is a different story. No precarious climb up to heaven to recruit the Messiah, no dangerous descent into hell to rescue the Messiah. So, what exactly was Moses saying? The word that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Says, the welcoming word of God, Jesus is my master. Embracing body and soul. God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right. And then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between him and me. Say that. God has set everything right between him and me. Or you can say, the Lord Jesus has set me right. The Lord Jesus has done me good. The Lord Jesus has set me in a good path. Jesus is my master. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my friend. All power belongs to my Lord. All power belongs unto my master. All power belongs to my friend. Amen. All right, you're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation, stirred up our faith. With your whole being, we are embracing God, setting things right for us. And all we did was voice that new creation life that stirred inside of us. The scripture reassures us that no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's exactly the same, no matter what a person's religious background may be, the same God for all of us, acting the same incredible, generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls help, God gets help. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted or the explanation? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why the scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away. Grand procession of people telling all the good things of God. I had a dream once that a vein was going through all over the world. It was a procession, like a parade of people with banners and so forth. And they were picking up more people that were believing. And it was going through all the world, the marching and the procession of God's people, telling all the good things of God and picking up new believers throughout the way. Amen. What a beautiful dream. But not everybody is ready for this, ready to see and hear and act, okay, as they pass through. Isaiah asks, what we all ask at one time or another, does anyone care, God? Is anyone listening and believing a word of it? The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. But haven't there been plenty of opportunities for Israel to listen and understand what's going on? Plenty, I say. Preachers' voices have gone around the world, their message to earth's seven seas. So the big question is, why didn't Israel understand that she had no corner on this message? Moses had it right when he predicted, when you see God reach out to those you consider inferiors, outsiders, you'll become insanely jealous. When you see God reach out to people you think are religiously stupid, you'll throw temper tantrums. Isaiah dared to speak out these words of God. People found and welcomed me who never so much as looked for me. And I found and welcomed people who had never even asked about me. Then he capped it with a damning indictment. Day after day, I beckoned Israel with open arms and got nothing for my trouble but cold shoulders and icy stares. Amen, folks. It's saying right here that people that we will never think that had any interest in literature but said yes to God, yes to Christ as the message came through their neighborhood. And they have written and book and have become great preachers, and they went deeper. They learned their stuff, and now they're bringing it to us, like yours truly. What good can come out of Tijuana, Mexico? Salvation, a salvation message. I heard the salvation message. I had a bundle of trouble that made me ready. The trouble was part of God's mercy to get my attention so he can take away all my options and be humble as can be. And when I heard the message, I said, what do I have to lose? I have lost everything else. Has it come to this? I said, yes, yes, yes. My friend said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be able to whip the devil. Well, I knew the devil and I knew he kept trying to break my neck, either with relationships, with drinks, with brawling, with craziness. I didn't want any more of that. I said, yes, yes, to the Lord Jesus. When my friend, who I believed, who I trusted, who I saw the difference from him, from being one of the worst guys in our neighborhoods, the narcotics used to come in a party and drag him out with batons and so forth, and he was just constantly in trouble. And now he was standing tall years later. I didn't even recognize him. I trusted him, so I thank you for trusting me. I am your friend. You have heard me over and over again. And I thank you for trusting me that this is the way, the truth, and the life. We got it made in the shade. Our Lord Jesus Christ has done everything. All he does for us is to stir our hearts and we make the right choice. We say and declare, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Love ya. Reading Romans 10. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it is misdirected zeal, for they don't understand God's ways of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. For Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. For Moses writes that the law's ways of making a person right with God requires obedience to all his commands. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again? In fact, it says, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Yes, they have. The message has gone throughout the earth and the words to all the world. But I ask, did the people of Israel really understand? Yes, they did, for even in the times of Moses, God said, I will rouse your jealousy through people who are not even a nation. I will provoke your anger through the foolish Gentiles. And later, Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. But regarding Israel, God said, all day long I opened my arms to them, but they were disobedient and rebellious. Note, a couple of things right here is that we may confess that Jesus is Lord. In other words, he's boss over all, or creator, or life giver. One of the reasons is you confess Jesus is Lord as you let him into our hearts, that he is supreme authority in our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that we surrender to him. Jesus is Lord. Can you say that with me? Say, yes, Jesus is Lord. Or this way, say, yes, the Lord Jesus is my God. The Lord Jesus is my God. For that's what Jesus came. That's the good news. The good news, he came to be Lord of our lives and to usher out sins, rejection, loneliness, disease. We were bastards, and now we have a father. We have a family. We are in love. That's the good news. We are in love, and nothing can hurt us. Absolutely nothing. Jesus is Lord of our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord. Amen. Let's read it in a couple of other translations to bring more clarity. Let's go quickly to the NIV, please. And we're going to read those parts that says Jesus is Lord. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And that's verse 14. And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard throughout the word about Christ. But I ask you, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice had gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. All right, let's back up to verse 10. Somehow I missed it right here. Okay, verse 5. Moses writes this about the righteousness that it is by the law. The person who does things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven or who will descend into the deep. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It's in your heart. In other words, it's in our decision, folks. It's in our acceptance. It's right there in our consciousness. The word is in our consciousness, in our mouth, in our heart, that wants to automatically speak and let the Lord Jesus in our hearts by making a wise decision that the Holy Spirit is tucking and on our faith. The Holy Spirit is pushing us to make that choice. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And how do you believe? You feel it. You sense it. You know the Lord is Jesus. You know the Lord is Creator. That's how you decide. It is so easy. It is so evident that the Lord Jesus is Lord over all. He is God. And you know him. we know him very good, for he is in our hearts now, and now we believe, and we are justified. That's the righteousness of the law that we're talking about. It is with our mouth that we profess with our faith and are saved. So the scripture said, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. We'll always have that love within us because we have mixed it with faith. We have allowed the natural sequence to take place. We believe. Amen. Let me go ahead and read it in another couple of translations and we'll tap into this subject again. Here we go. Now we're at the Passion Translation right here, and it says, let me read it. My beloved brothers and sisters, verse 1. The passionate desire of my heart, says Paul, and constant prayer to God is for my fellow Israelites to experience salvation. For I know that although they are deeply devoted to God, they are enlightened. And since they ignore the righteousness God gives, wanting instead to be accepted to God because of their own works, they refuse to submit to God's faith righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, and because of him, God has transferred his perfect righteousness to all who believe. Moses wrote long ago about the need to obey every part of the law in order to be declared right with God. The one who obeys these things must always live by them. But we receive the faith righteousness that speaks an entirely different message. Don't for a moment think you need to climb into the heavens to find the Messiah and bring him down, or to descend into the underworld to bring him up from the dead. But the faith righteousness we receive speaks to us in these words of Moses. God's living message is very close to you, as close as your own heart beating and your chest, and as near as the tongue in your mouth. And what is God's living message? It is the revelation of faith for salvation. It is the revelation of faith for salvation, which is the message that we preach. For if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. The heart that believes in him receives the gift of the righteousness of God. And then the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture encourages us with these words: everyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. So then, faith eliminates the distinction between Jew and non-Jew, for he is the same Lord for all people. And he has enough treasure to lavish generously upon all who call upon him. And it is true, everyone who calls on the Lord's name will experience new life. Amen and amen. We will experience believing, then produces faith, and then with our mouth we say, Jesus is Lord. Once we say it, we declare a truth and believe and accept a promise that goes into our heart like a seed, and we are transformed into a new creation. But we must be stirred up in calculating and believing and thinking of the words of God through a prophet like this one. I'm explaining it to you. All right. Amen. Let's go ahead and read it again with the Message Bible. See if we can get some more light in it. I'm believing. I'm stirred up, folks. Believe me, Paul says. Friends, all I want for Israel is what's best for Israel. Salvation, nothing less. I want it with all my heart and pray to God for it all the time. I readily admit that the Jews are impressively energetic regarding God, but they are doing everything exactly backward. They don't seem to realize that this comprehensive setting things right, that is, salvation, is God's business, and a most flourishing business it is. Right across the street, they set up their own salvation shops and noisily peddle their knockoffs. After all these years of refusing to really deal with God on His terms, insisting instead of making their own deals, they have nothing to show for it. The earlier revelation was intended simply to get us ready for the Messiah, who then puts everything right for those who trust Him to do it. Moses wrote that anyone who insists on using the law code to live right before God soon discovers it is not so easy. Every detail of life regulated by fine print. But trusting God to shape the right living in us is a different story. No precarious climb up to heaven to recruit the Messiah. No dangerous descent into hell to rescue the Messiah. So, what exactly was Moses saying? The word that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Says, the welcoming word of God, Jesus is my master, embracing body and soul. God's work of doing in us what He did in raising Jesus from the dead, that's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting Him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, you embrace God setting things right. And then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between Him and me. Say that. God has set everything right between Him and me. Or you can say, the Lord Jesus has set me right. The Lord Jesus has done me good. The Lord Jesus has set me in a good path. Jesus is my master. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my friend. All power belongs to my Lord. All power belongs unto my Master. All power belongs to my friend. Amen. All right, you're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting Him to do it for you. That salvation stirred up our faith. With your whole being, we are embracing God, setting things right for us. And all we did was voice that new creation life that stirred inside of us. The scripture reassures us that no one who trusts God like this, heart and soul, will ever regret it. It's exactly the same, no matter what a person's religious background may be, the same God for all of us, acting the same incredible, generous way to everyone who calls out for help. Everyone who calls help, God gets help. But how can people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted or the explanation? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why the scripture exclaims, a sight to take your breath away. Grand procession of people telling all the good things of God. I had a dream once that a vein was going through all over the world. It was a procession, like a parade of people with banners and so forth. And they were picking up more people that were believing, and it was going through all the world, the marching and the procession of God's people, telling all the good things of God and picking up new believers throughout the way. Amen. What a beautiful dream. But not everybody is ready for this, ready to see and hear and act, okay, as they pass through. Isaiah asks, what we all ask at one time or another, does anyone care, God? Is anyone listening and believing a word of it? The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. But haven't there been plenty of opportunities for Israel to listen and understand what's going on? Plenty, I say. Preachers' voices have gone around the world, their message to Earth's seven seas. So the big question is, why didn't Israel understand that she had no corner on this message? Moses had right when he predicted, when you see God reach out to those you consider inferiors, outsiders, you'll become insanely jealous. When you see God reach out to people you think are religiously stupid, you'll throw temper tantrums. Isaiah dared to speak out these words of God. People found and welcomed me who never so much as looked for me. And I found and welcomed people who had never even asked about me. Then he capped it with a damning indictment. Day after day, I beckoned Israel with open arms and got nothing for my trouble but cold shoulders and icy stares. Amen, folks. It's saying right here that people that we will never think that had any interest in literature but said yes to God, yes to Christ as the message came through their neighborhood. And they have written and book and have become great preachers. And they went deeper. They learned their stuff, and now they're bringing it to us, like yours truly. What good can come out of Tijuana, Mexico? Salvation, a salvation message. I heard the salvation message. I had a bundle of trouble that made me ready. The trouble was part of God's mercy to get my attention so he can take away all my options and be humble as can be. And when I heard the message, I said, what do I have to lose? I have lost everything else. Has it come to this? I said, yes, yes, yes. My friend said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be able to whip the devil. Well, I knew the devil and I knew he kept trying to break my neck, either with relationships, with drinks, with brawling, with craziness. I didn't want any more of that. I said, yes, yes to the Lord Jesus with my friend, who I believed, who I trusted, who I saw the difference from him, from being one of the worst guys in our neighborhoods. The narcotics used to come in a party and drag him out with batons and so forth. And he was just constantly in trouble. And now he was standing tall. Years later, I didn't even recognize him. I trusted him. So I thank you for trusting me. I am your friend. You have heard me over and over again. And I thank you for trusting me that this is the way, the truth, and the life. We got it made in the shade. Our Lord Jesus Christ has done everything. All he does for us is to stir our hearts and we make the right choice. We say and declare, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Love you.